right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll ask God's blessings tonight and
on them. Now, Lord, I pray that you would bless our time as we open the Word of Life tonight. I pray that you would bless, encourage, and challenge. We continue our study in the book of Proverbs. Lord, may we often just reminded, but Lord, being also encouraged through the Scripture, Lord, and help us as we glean and learn and are reminded of things through Scripture, Lord, that we might use some things that might help and encourage others that we are around, or whether it be our children, grandchildren, or those that we're mentoring. And Lord, just help us to be godly examples, Lord, as we lead by example, Lord, but also voice and give opportunities when we can of encouragement. Now, Father, bless your word, bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have your handouts tonight, we'll continue back in the book of Proverbs. We'll start with Proverbs 19 tonight as we continue with Proverbs on achievement and failure. Achievement and failure. We've looked at several aspects. If we don't finish up tonight, we will for sure next week and move on to another topic. Well, we've covered the conditions and concepts for achievement. We talked about preparation, opportunities, hard work, persistence, respect for God's commands leads achievement. And then we went into last week, we started and didn't quite finish. Wise counsel helps us achieve our goals. And we looked at why wise counsel provides stability. And tonight we'll look at one or two more. Number two under that, wise counsel provides strength and success. Wise counsel provides strength and success. Proverbs chapter 19. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good." Here, see, when you regard discretion and understanding, you will find success and prosperity. And as Proverbs 19 says, good. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." I hear young people sometimes using that verse of Scripture, and sometimes I want to ask them and find out. It's not the multitude of counsel that you keep asking till you hear what you want to hear. It's wise, godly counsel that will tell you what you need to hear, encourage you along the right track as you go your way. Proverbs chapter 24, in verse 5 and 6, "A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety." So if you want to reach your goals or achieve something in life, then we must realize the importance of gaining wisdom or knowledge. I know many of us may have, as I mentioned last week, a vast knowledge in a certain area, but we must admit, I don't know, no one knows everything about every subject, or maybe someone that knows more than you know about a topic you may be familiar with. Good counsel is always helpful. Your competition may be in areas such as business, legal matters, or in sports, but yet wise counsel will always be a help. Wise counsel is vital and necessary, again, in this areas, whether it be competition, conflict, war, or if you want to attain victory. And by the way, we're in a battle we'll talk more about on Sunday. We're in combat or conflict or war every day of our life as a Christian. And that's why it's good. And I know so many guys, as mentioned, enjoying our Tuesday mornings. Gentlemen, as far as I'm concerned, there's a council of wisdom around that table as we talk and we share from Scripture, dig in the Bible, spend time in prayer. And it's encouraging to me because every week, everyone has something to say or input to give or receive or thank someone about something that was said. And that is always encouraging. And that's where strength and success comes in wise counsel, because iron does sharpen iron. In the arena of warfare, as I mentioned, you will find that strategy, planning, and counsel is just as important as power or military strength. You see, many great armies have been destroyed in battle because of foolish leaders. And I got off on a little bit of a tangent looking at history, and I was going to use a few examples, but I decided instead of going down that rabbit hole, I better stop and just go ahead and use one example from verses of Scripture, because if you enjoy history and you read anything about wars, whether it be revolutionary here or overseas, there's been many that should have won the battle, but because of foolishness or foolish thinking, they lost. And David was, again, example, was able to defeat Goliath because of his wisdom and the help of God in battle. Solomon says, "Be wise, by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war." In other words, pre-planning and preparation before entering. Wise counsel leads to success, victory, or reaching the goal that you have put forth in your life. And number three, wise counsel provides stability, provides strength and success. But number three, wise counsel provides joy. Again, sitting around that table on Tuesday mornings to see some of the guys' face light up or to smile, or once in a while we'll get one of those, man, remember the old, man, I could have had a V8. Man, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't somebody tell me this 25 years ago? You know, we talk out loud a lot and we encourage one another, and it is good to understand and to hear that and to be encouraged by it. It always encourages me. Proverbs 3:13, I won't dwell on this and go right on to the next point. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Sometimes we might have to run it through over and over and over. We might have to be rehearsed, or we might have to be encouraged. Sometimes somebody just might ask up and say, "Pastor, just tell me no." I said, "Wait a minute, I want to know the question." Well, just be prepared to say no. No, it's good when we are willing to go and to talk to someone, get input, advice, even when we already know the answer. It's always good to get the reaffirming so the devil can't later say, "Well, are you sure you made the right call? Are you sure you were right on that?" Wise counsel helps us achieve our goals. And then letter G, trusting the Lord leads to achievement. You know, I think this should be the easiest thing to do, but in all honesty, is it not the hardest? Sometimes we want to pick it back up instead of just trusting and turning it over to the Lord. In trying to achieve your goals, there is an element of trust and dependence upon the Lord. And often that is easier said than done. It is easy, but it's also easier said than done. We can plan all we want, but without the Lord's help, we are not going to accomplish anything. See, He is our source of strength. He is our source of strength and strength. Of wisdom, of prosperity, any adjective you want to use, He is our source. He gives us the ability to do what needs to be done, because without Him, John 15:5 says, we are nothing. Solomon encouraged us to have a committed faith. And again, I don't want to dwell here as well. Jude covers that on Sunday. But he encourages us to have a committed faith in the Lord and to push our cares upon Him. Again, no matter what age we are in physical health or physical numbers or spiritual numbers as far as maturity, the bottom line is we need to remind ourselves that committed faith and putting our cares and casting our cares upon Him. So a couple things in that area. Trusting the Lord strengthens our thoughts and plans. Trusting the Lord strengthens our thoughts and plans. Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And I was talking to Brother Tony a little bit before church, and he was talking about that AC breaking down. We got that trip coming up on Monday. He goes, I don't know why, but I do know the Lord has it. I don't know why the timing. I don't know why with the trip coming up, but I do know He's got it. He's got it under control. Again, it's that committing those things unto the Lord. The word commit here in Proverbs 16:3 comes from a Hebrew word, galal, which means to roll, whether it is rolling up, rolling away, or rolling together. We are to roll away our problems, burdens, and fears upon the Lord. This made me think of a children's song, Michelle. You know what that is? Yeah, I roll away, roll away, roll. How does it go? How many of y'all know that little ditty, roll away, roll away? Sing it for us. God wants it to be that easy for us. Just roll it away. Roll it upon Him. Similar to rolling or placing a load upon a camel that lies down for a load to be placed or rolled upon its back. What are we doing when we roll something upon the Lord? See, that's exactly what he wants us to roll up our problems all the way. That's what he means when he says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That's a big step in trusting the Lord. And once we take that step and roll it over, and I don't know if you've ever rode a camel. I just happened to ride one while in Morocco. And seeing that aspect of that long-legged creature getting down flat on the ground and them loading it up and rolling that stuff on there, and they just stand up. And that's what the Lord is saying. Just roll it upon me. I can bear the burden. Just commit it unto me. So a couple things that we are to roll upon the Lord. When we roll something upon the Lord, this is what we're doing. We're surrendering. When we make that decision, I'm just going to roll away. I'm going to roll it upon the Lord. We're just surrendering it totally to him. You see, when you roll something to someone, whether it be a ball, whether you're releasing what you're doing, you're releasing or surrendering or yielding control of that ball. As I toss it to someone else, as I roll it to someone else, I'm just relinquishing, I'm surrendering it to them. So you are no longer in control of it once you have released it, for it is out of your hands. I remember the first time I was playing kickball with some of the grandkids some years ago, and they were all lined up ready to go, and I rolled the ball down there, and one of them picked it up instead of kicking it and just started running toward first base. You know, but that's basically what the Lord wants us to do, is just roll it over to him, let him pick it up, and let him run with it. Let him take care of it. That is exactly what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to yield our lives, to surrender our lives. What he says here, he wants us to commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. No more to worry about it. No more to be concerned about it. He wants us to turn our life completely over to him. Think about this. Why would you want to carry a heavy burden in the first place? If it's a load, it's fearful, it's overwhelming, it's causing my anxiety to elevate, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Well, instead of wringing your hands, why not just give it to him? That's exactly what he wants us to do. Surrender your works and your life to Christ. What are we doing when we roll something upon the Lord? We are surrendering it. Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. We are to cast or throw our burdens upon the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He's not saying just cast a few burdens, you need to handle the rest. He says cast all your burdens upon him. God does not work. Well, maybe it's, I'm going to say it anyway, then I'll rephrase it. God does not work through anxious hearts. Let me say it another way. How can he work through anxious hearts? If we can't and willing to give it over, we're continuing to worry about it, he is not in a position to help us the way he can. Whenever a Christian reaches this state, he should stop immediately and ask himself, whose work is it? Whose job is it? And coming to the point and realizing I'm a child of God, this work, this ministry that I have, this job that I have, this home that I have, these children I have, they all belong to him. I'm just stewards. And if it's getting too heavy, I just need to roll it onto him. I need to surrender it to him. You see, you are not the important person. Christ is. He is at work through us as we serve him. So when things do not go well, we are to go to him. And of course, anything less is not surrender. And if it's not surrender, it is disobedience. Are we willing to surrender? So surrender your way to the Lord. Surrender your burden. Commit those things unto the Lord. And number two, we are surrounding when we're willing to roll those things up unto the Lord. And here's what I mean by that. When you roll something, you also surround it, such as rolling up a blanket, rolling cooking dough and flour, or rolling that nuts and flowers into it, you're surrounding it. So, beloved, surround your life in God's care. When we surrender, what we're doing is we're surrounding ourselves with the ministry of the Holy Spirit and allowing it to work in us and through us. Beloved, surround your life in God's care. You know, something we learned as a small child sometimes, it takes a little while, but we learn, dad, especially if we have little girls, that they come to a point somewhere along the way when they're afraid, they can call out for daddy. When they got a boo-boo, it's mom. When they're scared, dad. But when they know dad is there, you know, even when the girls, and I'm kind of looking forward. I'm spending the day with, I'm getting off track here, but it's okay. I'm spending several hours tomorrow with the granddaughters, looking forward to it. I always get good illustrations for my preaching after spending several hours with them, so I'm looking forward to that as well. But anyway, they have no fear. Even when they could not swim and they were learning to swim, if Papa was in the pool, they would jump in. In fact, sometimes they wouldn't even get my attention. They say, Papa, as they ran and jumped in, no matter what end of the pool I was, because they knew I would get them, I would take care of it. And it took a little while to teach them to say, at least get eye contact before you jump in. Because when I hear Papa and I hear the splash, I'm looking around and no one's coming up. I panic a little bit and I go searching for them. But isn't it wonderful to know no matter what end that we jump into when it comes to problems, the Lord's always there. We are surrounded by Him if we allow, if we surrender ourselves to Him. This is where the peace comes from, for you are nestled in God's hands when we allow Him to surround us. Psalm 5 and verse 12. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. The word here, compass, means to surround. So when we are, when we roll things upon the Lord, we are not only surrendering, but we're surrounding ourselves with His provisions. And then the letter C, we are leveling. We are leveling. Another thought comes to mind when we think of the process of rolling. Again, when you roll something, you roll or you smooth it out. You make it level. Usually a flat surface is laid out in the open, or like we roll up a sleeping bag to make it level. We are to lay out our life before the Lord and tell Him, here it is. Now that part is pretty easy because He already knows whether we say here it is or not. But us coming to the point and willing to level it out or to level with the Lord with our needs that we have. We are to be open and honest with the Lord. If we have been sinful, we are to confess and forsake our sin. We are to level up with the Lord. Level up is another phrase I've learned with my grandkids, is that when they do well and they go to the next topic or the next level, it's called leveling up. And they come in the house, they visit, Papa, Grands, guess what? I leveled up again. And usually with Thea, it's with reading up to the next book, the next level of her reading. How are we leveling up in our faith and our walk with the Lord Jesus? Are we progressing to the next level? Are we stronger spiritually today than we were last year or earlier this year? Have we leveled up in our relationship with the Lord, with our studying of the Word of God? And that comes through surrender. It comes through surrounding ourselves and allowing the Lord to work in our lives that we might level up or that we might grow in the Lord. And then next we see, we should, in this process, we see the same steps are to be repeated. See, surrendering ourselves is not a one-time deal. It's day by day. We have to, I may surrender myself to the Lord, but I've got to remind myself tomorrow. I've got to remind myself, wait a minute, I've already surrendered this thing to the Lord. I need to turn it completely over again today. I don't know about you. I work good with schedules. I work good with timetables. So for me, it's easier. Lord, just help me get through today. I'll worry about next week, next month, or tomorrow when I get up the next day. But Lord, help me be fully surrendered today. Help me to yield myself that you may fully surround me today. Help me to take that next step that I may level up where I need to be in my walk and relationship with you today, and then repeat it day by day. When something is rolled, such again, as I mentioned, as the sleeping bag, it is rolled over and over and over and over and over again until it's rolled up. If you're extra tall like some of you, it might be a little bit of a longer roll up, but still roll it up. And the cycle is to be repeated again until it is rolled up and tied or fastened. How often do we leave loose ends instead of finishing a thing that we know that the Lord would have us to do, but complete it? Here we are to repeatedly Or as the Bible says, daily surrender, to yield, to commit, and to trust our life with the Lord. Yesterday may have been a great day of faith, but today is a new day. See, if you're going to roll your life upon the Lord, you need to repeat your walk of faith again today, because practice makes perfect. As you continue to do this day by day, it will help us to mature in Christ with our walk with the Lord. You will find it much easier to roll something away from you than it is to roll something toward you, because your feet tend to get in the way. It is our way that tends to get in the way of faith and trust the Lord. In other words, I can do it myself. Our feet get in the way. Our motives get in the way, as opposed to yielding to the Lord. You see, God does not ask about our ability or our inability, but He asks about our availability. Are we available? It doesn't matter if I can do it. It doesn't matter if I can't do it. If it's something that God wants me to do, am I making myself available? He wants us to release our grip on our will, our desires, and yield to His control and His will for our lives. You see, the result is that our thoughts or plans will be established. They will be stable, firm, or fixed. See, it doesn't take a great man or a woman to be a Christian. It takes all there is of him. It may not be much, but are we willing to give that which we have, that who we are, unto Christ? Does the Lord have you lock, stock, and barrel? Have you leveled up to the air that the Lord wants you? Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his path. There's no doubt in my mind, we at times have a great desire to do something, but sometimes the Lord says no. We read in the Gospels, we read in the epistles, where we see here men say, the Lord suffered us not to go. The Lord prevented us from going here. He may redirect us. So are we leveled up in a sense, or in tune with Him, surrendered to Him, allowing Him to surround us, that we know when the Lord throws up a yield sign? Do we know the difference between yielding and turning back and a detour, or we tend to drive through without preparation? God directs the plans that we make. The word directeth here in Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. It literally means to establish, to stabilize, or to prepare. So a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord prepares, the Lord establishes, the Lord stabilizes or protects and guides his steps. See, the Lord gives us stability in our plans if we're seeking Him, if we're surrendering, if we're letting Him to surround us. He can prepare the way for us to achieve what we have planned and give us wisdom and direction on how to accomplish our goals. You see, He can also block our path. He can slow down our path. We are unable to really accomplish anything, as I mentioned before, without His help. So man may suggest, but God decides. Are we making a lot of suggestions and not listening? Are we making a lot of recommendations? Are we verbalizing our desires, or are we allowing the Lord to direct and to guide our lives? Solomon has revealed a number of insights that we've looked at so far. He's talked about preparation. He's talked about opportunities when it comes to achievement, hard work, persistence. And I would venture to say, most of us here in this room tonight, after my personal conversation with you and you with us, I think we know what it means to prepare. We know what it means to have opportunities. We know what it means to put in the hard work. But also we know about the persistence. But we need to remind ourselves, do we have the respect for God's commands and His timing that we need to have? Are we seeking wise counsel? Are we trusting the Lord? See, my biggest problem that I have, before we close, I'm ready to run in many areas when the Lord says, slow down. Slow down. I'm ready to head out wide open, and the Lord says, slow down. And sometimes I feel like I hear the Lord whisper, you need to go spiritually like you do physically with those bad knees. You're not running anywhere anytime soon. To slow down, take your time, allow me to direct your path. Lord willing, and the Lord tarries, next week we'll go a little further and look at godly principles lead to achievement. So what about principles? Think about that for a moment. Principles. What are the guiding principles of my life? If you had to give a purpose statement or principles for you personally and for your family, what would they include? And how would Scripture incorporate that to support the principles or the philosophy of your family and your desire in working with your family? All right, let's stop here and pray tonight. Lord, again, we thank you for your blessings, for the joy of service and fellowship. We thank you for the Word of God and how it can direct our paths. And Lord, help us to continue to continually remember, Father, that we are to commit ourselves unto thee and allow thee to guide and direct our lives. Lord, help us, as I was reminded in my studies this week, to be fully surrendered, because Lord, if I'm not surrendered, I'm not going to be surrounded by the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. Help me to be surrendered, help me to be surrounded, and help me to be prepared to move and progress at your pace as you direct. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love tonight. Lord, help us as we labor to make great achievements, not just in our personal life, but, Lord, in our life in service unto you and ministering unto others. May it glorify you. Now, dismiss us with your love. Again, may you bless our time of fellowship, bless the rest of our work week, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you, his preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you, please don't hesitate to ask. Gentlemen, don't forget, Saturday morning, 9 o'clock over at Haymaker for a time of feasting and a time of fellowship. Feasting and fellowship.